Lesson 24. Acts chapter 24, viewed from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Acts chapter 24 is not a document that simply records the process of a delayed trial. This chapter clearly shows what remains unchanged to the end, when the already completed gospel of the water and the Spirit is examined by the language of politics, religion, and morality. Through Paul's defense and attitude, it testifies to us with what the gospel, where the problem of sin has already ended, proves itself before the power of the world. Acts chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. The reality of the accusation. About the frame of a destroyer of order trying to confine the gospel. Now, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, "Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace, and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear, by your courtesy, a few words from us. For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him, and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by, and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him." And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias comes down with the elders and a lawyer Tertullus, and accuses Paul before the governor. Tertullus points to Paul and criticizes, "For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." The core of this accusation was not an actual fact of crime, but an attempt to confine the gospel within a social frame. Because the gospel of the water and the Spirit ends human acts and the temple-centered system of the law, it cannot help but always look like a dangerous plague, destroying the existing order, to those who hold on to their own righteousness. Acts chapter 24, verses 10 through 16. Paul's defense, about the way, that fulfills the promises of the Old Testament and the freedom of conscience. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." Paul calmly begins his defense, having received the governor's permission. He reveals that he has never caused a disturbance, saying, "Because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship." Yet he declares, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Here, the way that Paul speaks of was not a new religion, but the completion of the method of salvation prophesied by the Old Testament. He also says, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." And this conscience was not a condition to obtain salvation, but the result of the freedom enjoyed by the one whose condemnation has already ended. Acts chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. Hope of Resurrection. About the central issue of the trial, proving the completion of the elimination of sin. "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." Paul brings the issue of the trial once again to the hope of resurrection, saying, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." The resurrection is not a vague idea of the afterlife, but the final evidence showing that all that elimination of sin was completely finished after Jesus took charge of sins by the baptism he received from John at the Jordan River and received judgment on the cross. Because if there is no resurrection, the gospel of the water and the Spirit also has no substance. Paul places this historical fact of the resurrection at the core of the trial. Acts chapter 24, verses 17 through 21. The truth of the temple incident. A place of testimony, not a scene of crime. "Now after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them. Concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day." Paul states that he did not cause a tumult in the temple, but was merely in the temple purified, having performed the purification rites. He testifies, "Unless it is for this one statement which I cried out, standing among them, concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day." The only thing Paul did was testify to the fact of completed salvation. What became a problem for the Jews was not Paul's actions, but the fact that the gospel message he proclaimed itself dismantled their religious system. Acts chapter 24, verses 22 through 23. The governor's deferral, on the limits of power that knows the truth, yet fails to make a decision. "But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, 'When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case.' So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. Felix adjourns the trial, saying, 'Having more accurate knowledge of the way,' and postpones the verdict, stating, 'When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case.' He commands to keep Paul, but give him liberty, and not to forbid his friends from taking care of him. This shows the typical nature of power, which objectively understands the truth, but delays making a decision while calculating its own political interests and timing. Felix's attitude paradoxically proves that the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not an object of mere understanding, but an object of life-staking decision." Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 26. The sermon before Felix. On the holy discomfort given by the gospel of the end of condemnation. "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid, and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. After some days, Felix comes with his wife, the Jewish woman Drusilla, calls Paul, and hears the way of believing in Christ Jesus. As Paul, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." This was not a simple moral lecture, but a sermon that revealed the severity of the judgment left for those who reject the already accomplished removal of sins. Felix felt fear, but at the same time, because of his greed hoping to receive money from Paul, he could not step forward to a decision of faith. Acts chapter 24, verse 27. A two-year deferral. On the uncompromising gospel and the advancing providence of God. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. After 2 years pass, Porcius Festus succeeds Felix's office. Felix, wanting to gain the favor of the Jews, leaves Paul in custody. Paul unjustly spends a time of 2 years in prison, but during that period, the gospel of the water and the Spirit was not modified or compromised by even a single line. The gospel does not negotiate with the power of the world in exchange for one's release or safety. Acts silently shows that even Paul's imprisonment is within the greater providence of God heading toward Rome. In conclusion, Acts 24 testifies how the gospel of the water and the Spirit stands while keeping its purity even amidst the frame attacks and political calculations of the world. The gospel is not a religious faction, but the only way in which all the promises of the Old Testament were fulfilled by the baptism, cross, and resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection is the final proof of the completion of atonement, and the one who believes this fact enjoys the freedom of conscience that is not subservient even before power. Acts 24 proclaims that the gospel is a living power that demands actual decision and faith beyond human understanding. A sermon by Paul C. Jong. The word from Acts chapter 24, verse 1 to 27, is a word that starkly shows how its essence is revealed when the gospel is put on the examination table of worldly power. When reading this text from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit preached by Pastor Paul C. Jong, Paul's trial becomes a magnificent scene, revealing how the salvation God has already completed simultaneously illuminates human conscience and power, rather than a defense simply to prove an individual's innocence. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias came down with the elders and a lawyer Tertullus, and accused Paul before Governor Felix, driving him into a corner as a pestilent fellow, a creator of dissension among all the Jews scattered throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. However, the reality of this accusation was not a matter of public security, but a collision between the gospel and the existing religious order. Because the gospel of the water and the Spirit tears down the system, trying to manage sin by the law, and feel at ease by institutions, and proclaims that sin has already ended by the ministry of Christ, it appears as a power threatening religious control and vested rights. Paul, having received the governor's permission, boldly revealed his position before Felix. He declared, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Here, This way that Paul speaks of does not mean a new ideology, but the fulfillment of salvation promised by the Bible, and the hope of resurrection he had was not a vague comfort of the afterlife, but the conviction in God's judgment that the price of sin was completely paid through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ took charge of the sins of the world from John at the Jordan River, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and the Holy Spirit testified to this, Paul could say, This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. This is not an assertion of his own righteousness, but a confession of true freedom within the gospel where condemnation has ended. Paul clearly revealed that he had never caused a disturbance or blasphemed in the temple, but rather worshipped performing the purification rite. The gospel does not destroy the order of the world, but fundamentally changes the standard of purification. This is because repetitive sacrifices or human acts no longer make purification, but the baptism and bloodshedding of Jesus become the reality of purification. While respecting the order of the place called the temple, Paul proved with his life that the actual basis of salvation is in the completed ministry of Christ, accomplished outside the temple. Felix knew more accurately about this way, but postponed the decision, keeping Paul in custody, yet commanded to let him have liberty, and not to forbid any of his friends to provide for him. After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. The reason Felix was afraid and answered, Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you, was because the gospel sharply pierced his hidden sins and conscience. However, at the same time, hoping that money would be given him by Paul, he sent for him more often and conversed with him, postponing the decision. The gospel of the water and the Spirit does not allow compromise. And before the declaration that sin has ended, the act of postponing the decision for the sake of prophet like Felix is not neutrality, but merely another expression of rejection. After 2 years had passed, when Porcius Festus came as his successor, Felix, wanting to win the favor of the Jews, left Paul bound in custody. The conclusion of Acts chapter 24 appears as Paul still being left bound. But this paradoxically shows the victory of the gospel. It is the fact that even if a person can be bound, the gospel of God is never bound. Even while Paul was imprisoned, the gospel of the water and the Spirit shook the governor's heart and was ceaselessly proclaimed in the middle of the court of power. Rather than placing its purpose on changing the environment, the gospel reveals human conscience and demands a truthful decision. This truth, that Jesus Christ took charge of all our sins at the Jordan River, received the judgment of those sins on the cross, and the Holy Spirit testifies to this in the hearts of those who believe, sets us before the examination table even today. In conclusion, Acts chapter 24 asks us whether we are postponing like Felix even after knowing the gospel, or boldly making a decision before the completed salvation. Before the gospel of the water and the Spirit, human conscience must choose one of two ways, obtaining freedom or being shaken with fear. The gospel is not the object receiving the examination of the world, but rather the eternal light illuminating the conscience of those who examine. When this gospel is proclaimed, rather than calculating our own profit or environment, we must obtain true peace within the faith that believes in the perfect salvation God has already accomplished. Questions and answers from Acts chapter 24. Question 1. Are you curious about the majesty of the gospel that Paul showed while reasoning about righteousness, self-control, and judgment before Governor Felix? Shall we find out more through the flow of chapter 24, how this gospel made those in power tremble? the righteousness, self-control, and judgment proclaimed by Paul before Governor Felix in Acts chapter 24 is a scene simultaneously showing the severity of judgment and the inevitability of redemption that the gospel of the water and the Spirit has. While keeping Paul in custody to buy the favor of the Jews, Felix on the one hand wondered about the faith in Christ Jesus and sent for Paul. At this time, Paul does not flatter the one in power or beg for his own release, but first proclaims righteousness, which is the sharpest part of the gospel. Here, the righteousness Paul spoke of does not mean human moral acts, but means the righteousness of God, which Jesus completed on the cross after bearing the sins of the world through baptism. And it premises that all humans without this righteousness are objects of judgment without exception. The self-control Paul reasoned about means the life of controlling one's lusts within the gospel. And the following, judgment to come, is the final declaration on the result of not believing the gospel. From the perspective of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the judgment is very clear. This is because all the sins of humanity have already been passed on by the baptism of Jesus and received punishment on the cross. But those who do not believe this legal fact and still remain under their own sins must bear the responsibility for those sins themselves. That Felix evaded the answer by trembling after hearing Paul's words was a spiritual shudder that occurred when the light of the gospel directly illuminated his own unrighteousness and God's righteous judgment. The majesty of the gospel that made Felix tremble comes exactly from the authority of the righteous. Although Paul was in the body of a prisoner, because he was a righteous person who passed all sins over by the baptism of Jesus, he could be confident standing on the side of God, who is the sovereign of judgment. On the contrary, although Felix had the highest power, because he was a sinner who did not know the secret of the elimination of sin, the water, and the Spirit, he had no choice but to tremble before the judgment to come. That Felix hoped for money while frequently calling for Paul shows that he was bound by the desires of the flesh rather than the truth of the gospel, and this suggests to us how great the difference is when the gospel of the water and the Spirit is heard only as knowledge and when it is believed with the heart. Ultimately, chapter 24 informs us that the gospel is not simply a message of comfort, but a powerful legal ultimatum that moves a soul from the fear of eternal judgment to the peace of the righteous. To the one who only fears and postpones the decision like Felix, the gospel becomes the basis of judgment. But to the one who accepts that righteousness like Paul, it gives true freedom of not being servile even before worldly power.